And on behalf of the Hopi people, I could say to you, pourquoi, which almost sounds kind of French, but that's actually their word for thank you. And I'm told that you have to be sure to say it fast, pourquoi, because if you say it slow, you insult the person, but if you say it fast, you thank them. So that's kind of different. So pourquoi to each of you today. We're going to be in the first chapter of Colossians today as we go to the Word of God together, as we seek for God to speak to us through His Holy Spirit and through His Word this morning. So just turn with me there in your Bibles, if you would like to Colossians chapter 1, and we will get to a couple of verses that we'll share in a moment. If I were to take the time to ask everyone in the audience, what is your favorite holiday? I'm sure a lot of us would say Christmas, the birth of our Savior, to celebrate Jesus, of course, that it was our favorite in that sense. But second only to Christmas, I think a lot of us might say Thanksgiving. Would you agree? And maybe one of the reasons why is because it's just a time to simply give thanks. And it's not maybe surrounded by a lot of commercialism until the day after, you know, Black Friday or whatever, but at least it's a day for us to reflect very simply, very sincerely, upon all the many things that we are thankful for. And you know, when we read the Word of God in so many different places, it just reminds us of that, doesn't it? All the many things we're thankful for because of who God is, because of what He's done in our lives. But sometimes what I've noticed that even in the midst of thinking about the things I'm thankful for, I don't always often enough take that to a deeper level. Why am I thankful for these things? And why have these blessings come my way? And why am I so humbled by the things that God is doing? And it brings me back to who He is, the great and awesome God that He is, and my need to get to know Him in a deeper way and walk with Him in a closer way. I guess here's the main point I'd like to share in our message today. It is simply this, that Jesus is enough. That the Lord Jesus Christ is enough. In Paul's day, and this is kind of behind his words today and throughout some different writings in the Word of God, there was a group of people around, the Gnostics, who would say, you know, Jesus is okay. Jesus is just all right. You know, like the old rock and roll song says, I'm dating myself. But you need more than that. He's a good place to start, but you need to add some more, or do your own thing, or tweak it your own way and all that. And actually, that's one of the worst lies in our world today, because the truth is that Jesus is not only the beginning, He is the end and everything in between. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is everything to me, more than I will ever even imagine or experience. And that He is enough for me. The Scripture says that in Jesus dwells all the fullness of deity and bodily form, and in Him we are made, you remember the word there? Complete, complete. In Jesus we have everything that we need. And as we look at some verses here in a moment that we'll put on the screen, I want to lead up to these last three verses in Colossians chapter 1, I don't think the verses are on there, but they're actually verses 12, 13, and 14. But I want to lead up to that by mentioning a couple things about God's people in the church in Colossae and how it relates to you and I and how it relates to that true thanksgiving spirit that we need to have. You'll notice in verse 2 that Paul refers to them as the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to and thought of the church, he thought of the church for what it really is. It is the people of God, engaged in the worship of God, that are seeking after the truth from the Word of God, that are involved in the work of God, as we've mentioned, work in many different places that we share in. And so he refers to us as the faithful, the saints, and the faithful brethren in Christ. Reminds me that really what God has called me to do, what God has called me to be more than anything else in my life, is simply to be faithful. Sometimes I ask God to help me do this and help me be this and help me accomplish that. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the root of that, as we mentioned, going deeper, is God just speaking to me and saying, you know what I really ask you to do, Tom, is just to be faithful. I will make you effective. I will take care of this need and that need and all the things that you're wondering about. But what I really ask you to do is just to be faithful. Saint means to be set aside. And someone who's set aside to the Lord God and who is faithful unto him. I think it's a great picture of what the church is called to be. And it's a great picture even for a new church like Great Fellowship, because he goes on to say to them, he says, I've heard of you. We've heard of you. Colossae was kind of an out-of-the-way place, but Paul says, we've heard of you. And we've heard of three things about you. Now, he could have said at that point many things. We've heard, you know, that you have a great location, you have a great building, you have a great whatever. But isn't it interesting what he singled out as what he remembered and what he heard about these people? He says, we've heard about three things, your faith in the Lord Jesus. We've heard about your love for all the saints. It's in those next couple of verses there. And we've heard about the hope of your inheritance. You know, when you think about it, that's really what our lives are about, isn't it? As God's saints, as God's faithful brethren, as God's new church, we need to make sure that we are making much of the Lord Jesus. That our faith is not in anything else or anyone else, but our faith is in him, the living God, God in the flesh, our Savior, our Lord, the only way of salvation, the only way to heaven. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus. We believe he is who he claimed to be. And our faith is so strong and so real that it's famous. That people would say, hey, I heard about those people over at Grace Fellowship. They really believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. That's something to be famous for. Their love for all the saints. They loved one another so much that it just spread all around how much they loved each other. And he mentions the hope that is bearing fruit, the hope that is the gospel, the hope that is spreading to all the world. And there it is right there, I think, for every new church, for every believer in Christ. God has called us to make much of Jesus. He's called us to make much of people. And he's called us to make much of our hope and to share that hope wherever we go. And so that kind of leads up to the reasons why, picking up with verse, well, before I get there, I want to mention what he prayed for. Notice just for a moment, there's so much in this chapter. Notice also what he prayed for. He prayed for the people of God and the church of God in the best and most bold way. Now, you know, to be sure, we can pray about anything, anytime, anywhere, right? Even our most basic needs, everything that we're going through, the Word of God tells us to pray about those things and trust God for those things. But notice, as we lead up to these verses, what the Apostle Paul prayed for the people on his heart. We have not ceased, in verse 9, to pray for you and ask that you be filled with what? The knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, verse 10, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, he prayed that they would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. And then that leads into verse 12that kind of launches into these things here on the screen. For he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance with the saints in light. He talks about joyously. At the end of verse 11, leading into verse 12, he says, joyously giving thanks. I think here's the truth that I'm finding that I need to think more of in a deeper way. That while I can pray about anything in my life, no matter what it is, how often do I pray boldly for God's best? And how often do I even end up praying for things that maybe I wouldn't even have to pray for if I asked God for wisdom, understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of him, for knowledge, for strength, for power, for his glorious might, steadfastness, and patience? What would happen if I prayed for those things in my personal walk with God, how many other things that I sometimes pray for would be taken care of and just overruled because of those most deep and most important and most powerful things that I need to pray for. So it impresses me that when the Apostle Paul prayed for the people of God, I don't find him saying anywhere, well, I heard you haven't been very, I've heard you've been sick lately, so I'm praying you'll feel better. I'm praying for this need or this need. He prayed for God's best, and he prayed for that in the most bold way because he knew something that I'm finding I need to learn more of is when I pray for God's best boldly, miraculous things begin to happen in my life, and many things I'm praying about are already taken care of. And so that leads up to the Word of God telling us to joyously give thanks for these three things. That's kind of the culmination of what Paul is saying in that first chapter. Because he has qualified us, because he has restored us, and because he has redeemed and forgiven us. The Word of God tells us to joyously give thanks. Not out of obligation, not out of duty, but out of delight, with a great sense of joy, with a deep joy, to joyously, continually, with our passion, with everything that we are, to give thanks to God for these three things. And as you look at that on the screen, what could be more grand, more glorious, more important for us to give thanks to God for? Not just because Thanksgiving is coming up, but every single day of our lives. We are called to joyously give thanks because, first of all, he has qualified us. Have you ever got a call that says, congratulations, you have been qualified to win a grand prize? And you know that usually doesn't mean very much. Qualified means maybe you're on our list or call us up or get on our list or something like that. But when the Word of God says that we are qualified, it means exactly what it says, and it means that we are truly qualified for a grand prize. For it says that the first one is in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light. Let me give you a couple of verses that talk about that picture of light in the Word of God and what it means to us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says that we are all sons of the light and sons of the day. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to him, qualified by him, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that word qualified, and almost all the words that Paul uses, is in a, even in a particular tense in the original language that says that this is a present reality. That this has happened to me right now at the point of my putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, he qualifies me to share in his inheritance, it says, to share in the inheritance of the sons in light. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness. Why? He says, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world, he declared, and whoever believes in me, they will not walk in darkness. It is a present reality. It is something present that changes our lives from the inside out. It is a light that we come to walk in every day. Now, have you ever gone into a dark room that is strange to you, that maybe you've never been in before, and it's pitch dark, and you don't know exactly where the light switch is, and it doesn't happen to be where you think it usually is? And so what happens? You're stumbling around in the dark, trying to turn on the light. What a picture of the life of so many people who are trying to qualify themselves to be good and to be right in God, And they will never be able to do it because it's impossible. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross for you and I, because we cannot qualify ourselves. And they're like a person stumbling around in the dark trying to find the light. So it's not only a present reality, but it is something that the light is something that we have the awesome privilege of embracing as our eternal inheritance. Not only our daily present reality inheritance of walking in the light of God and not dwelling in darkness, but it also is our eternal inheritance. We know where we're going, who we're going to see. We know where we're going to spend eternity. We know that this life on earth is just temporary, isn't it? So whenever I'm sick, whenever this body is suffering, I can say, you know, it's not always going to be that way. I have a glorious eternal inheritance with the sons of light. I know that I will spend eternity in heaven. I know that this is just a temporary existence. When pain comes my way, I can say it's not always going to be this way, because the Bible tells me of a place, a glorious place called heaven, where there is no pain, where there is no suffering, where God says, I am making all things new. And so it makes all the difference in my life from day to day, where I'm going, who I'm going to see, and knowing that my eternal home is in glory. Amen? Rejoicely give thanks because He's qualified us. Rejoicely we give thanks because He has, that should be rescued us. Restored is good too. But it is the word rescued. So just kind of make that little note there. Verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Remember, we just talked about what it's like to be in a dark room, stumbling around looking for the light. The Bible describes darkness in a lot of different ways, but here it reminds us that darkness is like a domain that kind of encroaches on us. A domain that can envelop us, a domain that can just really actually enslave us unless we're coming to and looking to the one who is the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to rescue us. Have you ever been in need of being rescued? You were in an impossible situation. We saw you on the evening news, on sitting on the top of your car because you decided to go across that wash where the water was rushing away. And here you are on the news on the top of your car. Impossible situation. Someone rescued you before your car floated away. Well, you know what? Spiritually, in a much more personal and deeper way, every one of us are in need of rescue, right? Because we're sinners, the Word of God says. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only way to have that promise of eternal life is to allow the one, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue us. In fact, even the name Jesus means deliverer. Going back to the Old Testament name of Joshua, He is our deliverer. The word rescue is key here because it actually refers to, in that day, still today, a king who has conquered a country and taken everyone from that country into a new realm. Isn't that a great picture of what Jesus has done for me? He has conquered me. He has conquered in my life what only He could conquer. He has rescued me because He's the only one who could rescue me. And He has taken me into a new realm of eternal inheritance and existence with Him. I want to give you two real quick pictures of just some simple pictures in the Word of God of what it looks like to live not in darkness, but to live in His light. I just love these two pictures. One is in Psalm 129, where it says that Thy Word, do you guys know that verse? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It makes me think of two things. A lamp is something more that shows you where you are, where the light is more something that shows me where I am going. When I'm walking in the light of Jesus, when I've allowed him to qualify me for my inheritance and remove the domain of darkness around me and allows me to live in his light every day, he has a way of showing me where I am and where I need to go. Amen? Because he becomes my lamp. He becomes my light. Another picture I love is in the book of Philippians, where it says that believers in Christ are like lights in the universe, holding forth the word of life. Now, when we walk out in our desert sky here, Maricopa, you know, kind of far enough away from the city, and when the moon's not out, you look up into the sky, and what do you see? Lots and lots of stars. But have you ever looked up at the sky at night and said, isn't the darkness beautiful tonight? Have you ever said that? I never have. But I look up and say, my, aren't the stars beautiful tonight? I once asked my granddaughters, who were looking up the stars, how do you think God made all those stars, expecting a child answer? And she said, by his power and his word. And I thought, wow, that's exactly right. I think she learned that here in the kids' time. But we are called to shine in darkness, not to evade it, but to invade darkness with the light of Jesus. That's why Grace Fellowship Church is here. That's why I'm here. That's why God has put me in this place. That's why God calls me back to my people, as Ernest shared, because I am a star. I am a light shining and invading the darkness with the light of Jesus. Here's the last thing. Rejoicely give thanks because he's qualified us, because he's rescued us. And rejoicely give thanks because we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. I can't think of anything more in my life that I need more than those two things. That's the grand prize that I've been qualified for. That's why I've been rescued, so that I could be redeemed, made completely new. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so that I could be truly forgiven and made new in him. So my question in closing is, are rejoicely giving thanks for those things? Have those things become such a part of who we are and a part of our walk, our daily walk with God, that in addition to thanking God for my family and for my job and for this and that, I take the time to say, God, there are just such deep and awesome things that are behind everything I'm thankful for. And so today, Lord God, I am thanking you that you have qualified me to share in the inheritance with the saints in light. God, I am so thankful today that you rescued me. Where would I be without you? And I'm so thankful today that because of you, I have been redeemed and forgiven. And I will spend the rest of my life giving you thanks for those awesome, life-changing things. Let's pray together. As we close in prayer, Luke always shares this as well, and I'll let him kind of close our service. But if you're here today, and giving thanks for those things is kind of a new thought, a new truth to you, if you're here today and your need really is for God to qualify you and to rescue you through Jesus and redeem you and forgive you, we would love to talk with you, pray with you about that need, because that's the most important life-changing decision that you can make. And as I close in prayer, that is a decision that you can make right now. And you can become joyously thankful for these awesome things.